Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus, and Aaron Flores is out sick tonight. Poor guy. Hope he gets better soon. It's just one of those colds that goes around because it's wintertime and everybody's defenses are just a little bit down. Anyways, we're broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia. We're the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way. Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication, and today, touring Europe with Darren Alf. We spoke with Darren sometime, it might have been 2 years ago. But anyways, we got in touch with him again. He runs BicycleTouringPro.com. He's a great guy, and he's had tons and tons of interesting experiences recently. So if you haven't been following him, Darren Alf, he blogs at BicycleTouringPro.com. He also has a fantastic companion of articles on what you might need to get out and tour yourself. So well worth visiting anyways. So we're going to play his interview. I sat down and had an interview with him a couple weeks ago. Actually, I had forgotten until I think maybe like an hour after the time that he and I had arranged to talk. And he was very gracious. He was just staying up late, I guess, because there's like a 9 or 10 hour difference between where he was and where I am. But yeah, he was just staying up and doing some computer work. So he was gracious enough to give us the interview, even though I dropped the ball on calling him. There are a couple of little technical things with the interview, just because he's over in Europe and I'm over here. It's a long ways away. And yeah, so I think there were a couple times where I probably talked over him and all that. So I hope that it makes sense for you anyways. So yeah. So we were going to have Ellie Blue and Martina Farner come in and talk about the situation with women in the cycling industry and good things and bad things about that. We had a little bit of a scheduling snafu, so we're going to push that out until after the new year, after the holiday rush is over, and we'll have that for you later on. So anyways, we're pushing ahead in our schedule and bringing the ones that would have taken 2 weeks to get to you up to this week. So first of all, Darren Alf about his European tour, and the next week, our friend Aaron Levanchy from Fort Collins, Colorado, and he'll have some interesting things to share as well. So for now, sit back or do whatever it is you do when you listen to podcasts, and enjoy the interview with Darren Alf from BicycleTouringPro.com.
You're fast.
Oh, maybe. We'll see how it goes. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. The internet okay. Is amazing. The fact that we can do this and you're over there. And what time is it for you?
10:20.
Okay. Yeah. And it's 12:21 over here. So yeah. Shall we introduce you to the gathered public, the waiting masses with bated breath?
Yeah, we can do the intro. I'll
okay.
Let you do that.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're talking today then to Darren Alf of BicycleTouringPro.com, who at this very moment is somewhere that is not in the United States. You're in Europe.
Right. I'm in Romania at the moment.
Okay. Brasov, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, I guess you've been doing some exciting things there too. I just remembered that you've kind of been doing what, parasailing? Is that?
Yeah, paragliding.
Paragliding.
Yeah, parasailing, I think, is when you get towed behind a boat,
right,
you know, with a parachute. And paragliding is when you have like your own parachute that you kind of fly in the air with.
That sounds more exciting.
Yeah, I think so.
All the way around, yeah. So that's but you're doing this trip through Europe on a bicycle, and of course, as the website states, it's Bicycle Touring Pro. You've done a lot of this, so we're excited to hear kind of how that has gone and what you've been up to. So maybe we should just start with the beginning. You started leaving America for Iceland, right?
Yeah. So this is my 12th long distance bike tour, and like you said, I left home actually in April, and I rode a motorcycle from Utah through Nevada and California to Los Angeles, basically, and then I hopped on a plane and flew to Iceland with a bicycle, and I spent a month or 25 days cycling around Iceland. That was the first part of this trip this year.
Yeah. And that sounds, just from the pictures that I saw, it looks both desolate and beautiful at the same time. There's a lot of open space and a lot of just the things that you would not see anywhere else in the world. So what did you think of Iceland? What did you see there?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I'll talk a little bit more, I guess, about some of the other places that I've been on this trip. But I think of all the places I've been, Iceland is my favorite. I think, unfortunately, the name of the country has some negative connotations with it. You know, a lot of people hear that and they think, I'm never going there.
Right, right.
You know? But it was really, really amazing. Like, the cycling was incredible. Scenery is amazing. There was, like, I never paid for camping. I think I paid for camping twice, like, when I was actually in the capital in Reykjavik. But other than that, 25 days, I never once paid for a place to sleep. I saved a lot of money doing that. But also, like, the places that we camped were just incredible. Like, we camped on the edge of a glacier and with these magnificent mountain and ocean views. It was just really some of the best camping that I've ever done in my entire life.
That's really – that's good to hear. And I was trying to think of, like, the historic thing. The legend that I've heard is that early explorers who were discovering Greenland and Iceland decided to, like, switch the names around, like, because Greenland is all, like, covered in ice, apparently. And right. Iceland is actually very nice. But if you, you know, like you were saying, if you don't know that and it's called Iceland, you're probably not going to go. So that was the conceit that I think I remember hearing about. And I have no idea if that's true or not or how true that is. But
yeah, no, I've heard that as well, that they switched the name so that the invading armies or whatever would say, I'm not going to Iceland.
Right.
And then they wouldn't show up, which is so simple, but kind of genius.
Right. Marauding Vikings and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, so you went to Iceland with an old friend of yours. It was someone you moved in with in college, I think. And
yeah, he was my second college roommate, like in my freshman year. And all throughout college, I was going on these bike tours, like during the summers between, you know, between breaks from school. And every year I'd be like, Brandon, do you want to go on a bike trip with me? And he's like, no, I got to work. I got to, you know, do whatever. And I never really pushed him much, I don't think. This is the guy actually that prompted me to create Bicycle Touring Pro 5 years ago, because he called me up one night and said, hey, like, I saw you go on all these bike tours all these years, and I'm just now realizing how amazing that was, and I want to do it for myself. You know, what do I need to do? So I sat down with him on the phone that night, and we talked for, like, hours about what kind of bike do you need, what kind of gear do you need to carry, how do you plan out your route, all that kind of stuff. And after I got off the phone with him, I was like, wow, like, that was so much fun just talking about all that.
Right.
And I thought, like, man, if I could help my friend Brandon, like, plan this trip, I wonder how many people I could help if I wrote all this information down, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, and shared it with the world.
Right.
And that's how my website, Bicycle Touring Pro, got started. And I've been hustling like crazy ever since.
That's kind of cool. So this is like a full circle sort of thing. Like, Brandon going on the trip with you was kind of like the, like, you've been doing this, the website and all for some time now. And finally you get to marry, like, the website and all of the stuff that you've been doing with the advice and everything with the person who kind of inspired that.
Yeah, exactly. It was really cool. What Brandon thought of the bike tour once he got out there, I don't know exactly. I still don't really have a good grasp of, you know, what he felt about it all. I think there were times on the tour where he was having an incredible time, and there were definitely moments when he wanted to go home, you know? Like, bicycle touring isn't always easy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love to say that it was, you know? But I think that's part of what draws so many people to bike touring, is that it isn't easy. You know, if it were easy, we'd be driving in cars or something, you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'd like to say Brandon had an incredible time. And I think once he got home, I think he realized kind of like, wow, that was amazing. But there were definitely some moments I could tell when he was struggling, and that made it difficult not only for him, but for me as well.
Yeah. So, and this was his very first trip on a bike, long distance, right?
I don't think he'd ridden a bike since he was like 8 or something. You know what I mean? It was definitely something new for him.
Yeah.
But I think that it'll be one of those things when he looks back on this a year from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now, he's going to be like, that's one of the greatest things I've ever done.
Kind of a, you're going to thank me, son, someday sort of thing.
Yeah.
Nice. So. Well, that's cool. I'm glad that you guys got to do that. I have had fewer opportunities than I would like to get my own friends who, you know, I'm really close to them, but like we kind of developed friendships before I got into the whole bicycle touring thing and going on trips. And so it's something that, you know, I would love to share that with more people that I know, but most of the people that I'm really good friends with haven't yet kind of been bitten by that bug. So,
and then the trick is, how do you get them out there? You know,
right.
You can't force someone on a trip like that, you know,
as much as we would like to.
Like, it's only 2 hours of your time, you know?
Exactly, yeah. We could do like, like the time sharing sorts of things where they like say like, we'll give you a free, you know, what have you, if you come and listen to our spiel. I think you and I are going to go into business someday, Darren. Well, so from Iceland then, where did you go from there?
Yeah, so 25 days in Iceland. Then Brandon flew home back. He lives in Texas. So he flew back to Texas and I flew to London, England. And I spent just about 10 days or so in England. And then I took the ferry over to France. And I cycled through France, Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, Luxembourg. Oh, I stopped in Belgium for the start of the Tour de France bicycle race this year. So I saw like 5 stages of the Tour de France. Should I keep going?
Sure. Yeah.
I'll just give you a general summary of
the rundown.
Anyways, so I saw the Tour de France, which started in Belgium, and then I rode through Luxembourg and northern France, and then I went to Geneva, Switzerland, and cycled across Switzerland all the way across to Liechtenstein in Austria with a guided bike tour company called Bike Switzerland. Totally different type of bike touring that I've ever done before, because most of my trips have been just on my own, where I carry my own gear, you know, and decide where I'm going to sleep and eat. Okay. But this was a guided bike tour with two different guides that kind of took us along a dedicated route. And there were 9 other people that I was traveling with that I didn't know previously. You know, we all kind of just showed up in Geneva and went across the country.
I would imagine that changes the pace a little bit compared to what you're used to.
Yeah, it changes the pace and it changes so many other things. I mean, I think obviously when I'm traveling by myself, the only person that I really have to argue with or deal with is myself.
Yeah,
and then you get people who you don't know and not that we're arguing or anything. There was never an argument or any sort of negative thing, you know, confrontation that came out of us traveling as a group. In fact, it was all extremely positive, and I loved every single person that showed up on that bike tour. But you could definitely tell there was like this whole group dynamic sort of thing where each person had their own personality. You know, some people were more of the leader types and some people just kind of hung back and didn't say anything. So I think that's the sort of thing that happens anytime you put multiple people together. But I just wasn't used to it simply because I spend so much time alone on these bike tours.
Right. Yeah. Which is really the easiest way. Like if you're doing, say you've set out to do a 6-month sort of stint, right?
Actually 12.
Oh, 12. Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. That I have underestimated. So you're living for an entire year on your own, and it really is easiest, I think, if you're making a bunch of those decisions and if you're going to a bunch of new places, it's probably easiest to make those decisions on your own. So yeah, a little bit of an adjustment, I would imagine, to be doing that with a group.
Yeah, but it was really, really fun. We not only did we like cycle through some of like probably the best scenery, you know, scenic places in the whole world. Like Switzerland is amazing. Mm-hmm. Have you been there?
I have been to Munich, which is close, but we didn't even get to the mountains. So like we were mostly in the city when I was there in February. So no, I haven't been to Switzerland, but I've heard amazing things about it.
Yeah. So anyways, the scenery was just like mind blowing. And the bike paths in Switzerland are just like, I don't think Americans can even understand, you know, there's paths everywhere, like to every little town and village, and they're so well signed, you know, it's just amazing. Obviously for a small country like Switzerland, it's, I think it's easier to do than it would be in America, which is a million times the size of Switzerland, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I think in America we have like so many things are left either state by state or county by county or just like in the biggest cities, they're left to kind of determine what the standards are for bicycle transportation and what's going to be acceptable. And the only place I can really think of that comes to mind is Minneapolis, I believe, has a really nice section, a nice set of separated paths, which most of the rest of America is just kind of either bike lanes or you're hosed and there's nothing for you. So it's nice to hear about that. Also, I think we were talking like last year when we talked to you, within about a week or so, we talked to the folks at traveling2.com and they live in the Netherlands right now. And apparently, yeah, they were saying over there, they also have just an amazing cycle track network, which is kind of cool to hear.
Yeah, it's cool. But, you know, I rode through the Netherlands and I wasn't as impressed with it as I thought I would be. I mean, I like the Netherlands. Hopefully that didn't come across as like me saying I didn't like the place.
Right. But it's been so built up, right?
It's been so built up, but it kind of takes away from the whole adventure of bike touring, I think, because it's like, it's too well signed. It's like, there is no challenge to it almost.
Sure. Like some of the things you appreciate are probably kind of the wayfinding aspects and you know, not always knowing where you are all the time. Is that accurate?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, like I said about the Iceland leg of my tour, like I enjoy the challenge. That's why I keep coming back to bike touring. Mm-hmm. And I think that even though these bicycle paths are great to have, especially in cities and stuff like that, I do think from a bicycle touring standpoint, it can become a little boring.
Right.
If you're just on it for a month at a time, like I was when I was cycling through Belgium and the Netherlands. So,
yeah, I'm not sure if I remember reading too much about your opinions about like bicycling with traffic. I assume you've done a ton of that because you've been to so many places. You seem like you're probably very comfortable with riding in traffic and you know, riding on the shoulder or like in the lane or whatever. But what are your opinions on like, do you think we need a bunch more bicycle infrastructure or are you cool without?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, maybe I'm hinting on it here just by saying what I said about the Netherlands. But I grew up in Southern California, just outside of Los Angeles, and went to university in Orange County, California. And I basically, like, that's where I got my start cycling, was riding the streets of Los Angeles, where there are essentially no bike lanes, you know, and you have to ride aggressively and in the lane and bumping into cars and who knows what, you know? So, so I am completely comfortable riding in traffic, for the most part, I would say.
Yeah. Have you been back recently to LA? Because I've heard that is actually just been they put in a bunch of new amenities for cyclists recently, and I haven't heard a whole lot about it. But yeah,
LA is a very big place.
So one piece, like one new little installation, is not gonna be like the entire town has changed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm sure that there are. But yeah, I think it's probably just in areas, you know.
Yeah.
So to make it like the Netherlands or like Switzerland or whatever, it's just going to take so much work. I don't know if it'll ever happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you want to tell us a little bit about the places that you've most recently been? Because I remember some of my favorite stories that I've kept up with you on have been from like when you went to Bulgaria and now to Romania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I finished the Bike Switzerland tour cycling across Switzerland. And then I jumped on a plane and flew to Istanbul, Turkey. And I spent a month in Istanbul. And then from there, I cycled from Istanbul up through northern Turkey to Bulgaria. And I rode along the coast of the Black Sea through Bulgaria and then crossed over into Romania and kind of cycled through the mountains of Romania to Brasov, which is where I am right now. So that's been the last 2 months or so of my bike tour.
Yeah, I remember you had some provocative headlines, I believe, something about your bike being stolen, which it sounded like maybe it wasn't actually what happened, but something that's a little eye-catching.
Yeah. Well, I gotta keep the readers on.
I was just like, shit! I mean, he's like the worst thing has happened to him.
But it was actually like one of the best things because that story was simply about me meeting this guy named Martin on my first day. Basically, I was cycling down out of the mountains of Bulgaria and getting ready to hit the Black Sea. And I kind of hadn't really seen anyone else in Bulgaria until this moment, because I was just on this really desolate road. So I'm coming down this hill and this guy on a mountain bike comes up to me and like asks me for directions. Like I know where I'm going. and so I say, I don't really know, you know, and I just continue riding. Well, he circles back and starts following me on the bike. And I'm like, what is going on here? You know, who is this guy? What does he want exactly? Well, eventually he comes back and starts talking to me and he's just a really nice guy who's out for a bike ride and kind of wanted a friend for the day, you know? Mm-hmm. And we like went to lunch together and then, and he said, where are you going? I told him I'm riding up the coast of the Black Sea. And he said, oh, I'll go with you for the rest of the day. So, he rode, we started riding together and then he said, can I ride your bike? You know, cause I have this very unique bicycle. It's not like most bikes that you see on the road. It's got all these bags and stuff on them.
Right. And this is a Co-Motion Pangea. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the bike I'm riding at the moment, but just a touring bicycle in general looks very strange to, your average person. So
yeah.
He says, to give that thing a try. Of course, my bike is like my world, you know, so you've probably like you don't let your bike out of your sight when you're on tour, you know. It's mm-hmm. It's your car, it's your house, it's everything.
Yeah, right. Your office, your grocery store, all that.
So I'm like, I barely know this guy. I met him like an hour ago and now he wants to ride my bike that contains everything I own, you know. So but I let him ride the thing and all day long, he rode my bicycle and wouldn't, you know, until the end of the day, wouldn't give it back to me. He was like, this thing is fun. I love this. I'm going to go on a bike tour of my own, you know. And so that I thought it was a really cool way, not only just to meet a new person, but to introduce him to bike touring, you know.
Yeah, so. That's fantastic. That's, you know, the one conversion, one brainwashing and induction into the cult at a time. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. So that was just one of many adventures here recently, I guess.
Yeah. The other thing that I was just thinking of was getting pizza in a bag.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, I don't know where that was. Somewhere in Bulgaria, I went to a restaurant and said, can I get a pizza to go? And they said, yeah. And they brought it out a few minutes later and it was in a plastic bag or two plastic.
Like a grocery bag
that they had bought bananas in or something, you know. I had to carry my pizza back to my hotel in two separate plastic bags. It was like, welcome to Bulgaria.
There you go. Yeah. And it probably, I'm guessing like that doesn't offer the support that a traditional cardboard pizza box would offer. So was it all like crumpled up or curled up, or did it arrive kind of as you wanted it?
It kind of arrived the way I wanted it. You know, it tastes generally the same. So it all works out, you know. But
yeah.
I can imagine so many people back home, like if I went to a pizza shop and said, can I get a pizza to go? And they gave it to me in a bag, like what the result of that interaction would be, you know what I mean? Like just.
Yeah, here's your bag of pizza, sir. Yeah.
New way to deliver pizza in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know, but that's what I love. Like I love getting a bag of pizza when I'm expecting a box. It's those little moments that come up unexpectedly that bring me back to bike touring time and time again. Like if it weren't for those moments, traveling by bike or traveling in general would just be boring, I think. And why travel at all in that case? So
yeah,
I love
those are the differences between, like, you know, something you didn't expect that will, like, devastate you or ruin your day, and something you didn't expect that just makes it all that more interesting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've had these moments, right, on your tours?
Yeah.
Or something great happens and it just totally makes your day.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about, like, when I had a spoke break on me in Idaho, because we went from Oregon to Colorado this year. And that was kind of sort of like a bummer. But at the same time, I had never put my spoke replacing skills to use. I had all the tools, had all the stuff. And, you know, I just, like, you don't want to work on your regular wheels, because, like, that's your bike for getting to and from work or whatever. And so I just had never done it. And so I just kind of needed a situation like that where I would finally have a chance to put those skills into action. So yeah, things that you don't expect that kind of get you where you want to be.
Along the same lines, I'm in Brașov, Romania right now, and I was planning to spend like a week here. That's all. I got here, I don't even know, like at the end of September. Yeah, I'm having to think what month it is right now. That's how, like, out of it I am. But I got here at the end of September, and I was planning to spend like a week in this city. Well, it's now October 17th or something, and I'm planning to be here basically through the end of October. I just love it so much, in Romania, which is something I totally didn't expect. I can't exactly tell you what I like so much about it here, but there's just something, and it goes back to this whole, like, being positively surprised by these things on your bike tours or on your travels. And this is, I guess, this city for me is one of those surprises where I just totally didn't expect it. And I'm going to be sad when my time here is over.
Yeah, there are very few places I can think of that, like Romania, for example, that, you know, show up on travel brochures and that sort of thing. You don't usually book your vacations. And I think I heard somebody talk about, like, you know, the coast of Croatia or something, but that's, like, that's on the Mediterranean, the water's blue and whatnot. I'm thinking more of just like places that, yeah, like you're saying, that you wouldn't expect to enjoy as much as you do. But once you're there, you're like, well, I could, you know, I could easily spend weeks and months here. This is very cool. So yeah, it's nice to kind of roll into a place like that and have that kind of happy surprise.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I like it here so much. I keep telling people that I could live here, which is a weird statement for me, because the more I travel, the more I feel like I couldn't live anywhere, really.
Yeah. Are you, I don't know. It seems like you have pretty entrenched roots. Like you kind of like where you're from, which is Park City, Utah. And yeah, so I suppose anything that could shake you out of Park City seems like a pretty good place. I have not been there, but I having been to Colorado now, I kind of get the feeling of, like, being in the mountains and being in that general region, and, you know, that would be a hard place to leave. So if Romania can shake you out of that, then that must be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm actually not from Park City, Utah. I'm
right.
Like near Los Angeles, California. And I moved to Utah like 6 years ago, which ended up being like one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life, just because it transitioned my whole world from, like, get a job, do, you know, buy a house, get married, have kids, like that standard sort of American dream kind of thing, I guess, to what I'm doing now, which is more along the lines of, like, do whatever you want, travel.
It's like one step away from the Portlandia concept of young people moving here to retire.
Yeah, exactly. The more I travel, the less American I feel. That might be the easiest way to say it.
Yeah, like it's kind of getting washed out of your hair or something. Like the more time you spend abroad, the less uncomfortable I'm sure it is. Like, you probably get a better sense each day how to relate to the people around you and how to be less like an outsider and more like someone who belongs there, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But I think also, like, in the same sense, I feel like I am becoming disconnected in many ways with a lot of my friends and family and stuff back home, that I just don't think in the same way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which is in many ways a good thing, and in some ways a bad thing, because I feel like I've disconnected from a lot of the people that are important to me, you know. And I think that's largely my fault. It's not, you know, these people's fault in any sort of way, but I think that happens anytime you travel. It's kind of difficult to keep relationships up with when you're gone for so long.
It's just different when you don't have the time to maintain relationships, and you know that you bump into people, you know, but it feels different after that much time. So yeah, I mean, have you made some decisions, or have you changed any of your plans based on that?
Well, you know, honestly, like, I'm still trying to figure it out. It's a strange thing, because part of me wants, like, to just settle in a place and have my friends and family nearby or whatever, and do the normal thing. Like, part of me would be perfectly happy with that. And then the other half of me thinks that that is freaking crazy. And that there's so much to see in the world, and there's not enough time to see it all. You know, I got to be moving faster than I am right now. And so there's, you know, it's the two sides, and it's really difficult. All I know at the moment is that I can't go home basically until May of next year. I've rented out my apartment until the end of April, 2013. So basically I have no home until then.
Right. Or your home is the road. Yeah. And are you using, is it Airbnb or something else?
Yeah, well, that's what I've been using primarily to find these apartments that I've kind of been staying at in Istanbul and in Varna, Bulgaria. I rented a place for a week, and then now here in Brasov, Romania. So I've found some cool apartments, yeah, on Airbnb.com. I don't think I mentioned, but from here I'm going to be going into Moldova, Ukraine, and Poland over basically for the rest of the year.
Kind of completes the circuit, right?
Yeah, kind of a big circle around, like a horseshoe around Europe. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations. It's nice to know that someone's out there doing it. Like when I can't be on the road, you know, because I mean, you're independently kind of in charge of your own employment from wherever you are, which is a great way to go. I'm kind of tied to a job which allows me to leave during the summers and that sort of thing. So yeah, I'm a little bit jealous, but it's nice to know that people are out there, you know, having adventures and doing new things and seeing all those things. So I know that it's appreciated, sir.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's what's so cool, I think, about being in the bicycle touring world, is that you start to hear other people's stories. Like, I'm not the only person doing this. There's a lot of people that are traveling by bike long term, you know? And I get inspired by hearing about these other people. I always think, you know, people think I'm doing cool stuff, and then I hear about someone else and I think, oh man, they're really outdoing me, you know? I gotta catch
here, right, you know? Right. Yeah. And it's nice too, I think, just, I mean, there's always the danger that you become like an armchair tourist and you always be like really excited about things that you'll never get a chance to do. I think that in itself could be kind of dangerous, because that's the wrong kind of vicarious living. But if, like, you know, for example, you have a job you have to be home for and you're doing that job, it is nice to know that, you know, especially with the development of technology and if it's becoming ever easier to share photographs and video of what's happening in other places, to be able to follow people who are doing the same sorts of things that you love, is that's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you got to get your inspiration kind of from somewhere. You know, I think I've been thinking a lot lately about like the blogs that I read and the websites that I tune into. And I've kind of been drifting lately from informational sort of blogs. Like, I used to read a lot of marketing and cycling, you know, just blogs and stuff. And now I kind of drift away from that, and I'm reading more stuff that just inspires me in general. And it's not necessarily about work or what I do for fun, which is ride a bike. It's more art related or movie related or fashion or something like, so I'm kind of drawing my inspiration from other places. And I think that's been a good thing for me, just because I think if you focus too much on cycling, it can just, your world becomes a little crazy or something. Do you ever feel running the podcast?
Just being overwhelmed with like one idea or one set of ideas or something like that. I think sometimes, yeah. I do. Sometimes I feel like, I've actually fallen behind in some of my bicycle reading because I follow tons of blogs, you know, partly for the show, just to like to know what's happening in the world and find like the freshest news stories that people might be interested in hearing. But yeah, sometimes I just like there's so much I kind of have to like hit zero and start from scratch. Just you know, saying like I'm ignoring all of the you know like April's stuff because like I didn't get to read any of it. Yeah, I think one of the reasons that we here at the Sprocket, like we talk a lot about bicycling, and that's kind of like one of the primary demographics of the show, I think, is people who are interested in bicycling. But we haven't limited ourselves to that also just because we have some other interests. Like we like getting around in the city, you know, like riding transit, that sort of thing, eating and simpler living. And one of our episodes was about like living without a microwave, just, you know, seeing how that works. And so... Yeah, I feel like it's good to not box yourself in too much.
Yeah, no, obviously you have to have a central focus. I mean, that makes – without that, it's just a freaking mess, you know. But I think there does have to be some variety. I know that when I started Bicycle Touring Pro, somebody said, like, you got to be careful because this thing that you like so much right now is going to become like a job if you focus on it as much as you're saying you're going to focus on it, you know? And that's probably, I'm guessing that you maybe feel that same way about the Sprocket podcast sometimes, where it does feel more like a job than it is fun. But then you find these little nuggets that kind of come from somewhere else. Like I was saying earlier, like I've been pulling a lot of my inspiration lately from art blogs and fashion and you know, architecture and things like that, and I think that's helped me because if I were to pull my inspiration solely from like other cycling blogs, then I don't know, it just all becomes a little bit too incestuous,
right? Yeah it's all kind of turned in on itself in kind of a weird or ugly way or something. Yeah. And I think, I mean, we're not a super produced show. Obviously, you and I are just sitting here like, you know, shooting the shit, as it were. And I think some of what you're saying is like, you know, a lot of social media is even going towards like pictures. Like Instagram has become a huge thing just because people love to see what other people are up to. And they love to get a visceral sense or something, as opposed to just like reading. Like MySpace blogs are down. Live journal is no longer a thing as much. But, you know... I think one of the reasons that we do what we do is that people like to get in on conversations and we like to encourage the people to connect with each other and with us through this, just, you know, because like if it's all about just like taking in technical data, which a lot of the internet has kind of been slanted towards, that doesn't fill the need that we all have for connection with other people. And so, yeah, I feel like it's nice to maintain some of that.
Yeah. What? I don't know what we're talking about right now.
Neither do I. We're getting all heavy and philosophical. Well, maybe, I mean, we're getting up towards, I ought to make sure you get to bed because it's late for you over there. But do you want to maybe just sum up real quick and give some of the new things you've learned this time around on the road?
Some of the things I've learned from my travels over the last years. That's a good question. Gosh, I wish you had prompted me with that beforehand.
It doesn't have to be profound or anything. You can say whatever you want, even if it's just like, you know, I need like an extra pair of socks or something.
No, I think one of the big lessons I've kind of learned this year is that it's good to have somebody challenge you and make you justify some of your ideas. I think that's one of the things that's really gotten me this year, as I've met some people who have totally different viewpoints on certain aspects of living, you know. And after my conversations with these people, I've kind of thought back on how I was raised and the ideas that I previously had and realized that those previous ideas were wrong. So I'm kind of grateful for that at the moment. And I don't want to go into too much detail there, but that's sure. That's kind of a cool thing, right?
It's like the great pragmatism developing from travel. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah. But I think so many people in their normal lives, like they don't want to be challenged in any kind of way, or they, you know, they're comfortable with where they are and they don't want to be proven wrong. They don't want to believe that the things that they believe are wrong. But I'm kind of getting to this point where I want to, I kind of want to challenge some of these beliefs and stuff. So that's pretty exciting. I think that is the big thing that I learned this year.
Embrace the great unknown. Well, that's cool, man. I think it's very, yeah, very valuable for all of us to challenge the things that we've kind of assumed. As they say, assumptions make an ass out of you and me. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much for making time to talk to us. And we're looking forward. The website, of course, is bicycletouringpro.com. And is there anything else that you'd like to promote while you have the venue?
No, I think that's it. I just want to say, if anyone wants help planning a bike tour, please get in touch with me. I'm happy to help in any way that I can. So, yeah. That's it.
And of course, Darren, you're one of the first people that came up when I was beginning to explore, like, you know, what it looks like to go traveling on a bike and what sorts of things you need and all that. And it's a fantastic resource. There's a ton of great stuff up there. Well, hey, man, we'll sign off, but good luck to you in the future. And keep us apprised of the things that happen from here on out.
Absolutely. And good luck to you as well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Glad to. Well, thank you again. Talk to you later on, and good luck out there.
Thanks.
All right.
Talk to you later.
And that's it from Darren. We are looking forward to next week with Aaron Levanche's interview. Until then, you can find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send us feedback about the program, suggestions for topics, guests, or drinks, and send us an email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. You can also call and leave us your stories, your input, anything that you have to say at 503-847-9774. You can send us an SMS, a text message if you want. We're on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. And Hurtbird for our headline sounder, which you'll hear soon next time we do the news at hurtbirdmusic.com. That's where you'll find them. Next time, take care.
I think the connection is pretty good, but every now and again, you know, Skype will freak out or kind of expand a syllable or something like that. So I'll just go through and do some housekeeping, and then I think that'll be set.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, if you want me to do this again or something, we can too, if it was terrible.
No, man, no. We're all about, honestly, I think the candid gives you so much better material than something that you kind of prepare for. It depends on what that thing is, you know, but like for a job interview, you want to be polished and whatnot. For podcasting, I think people love just the stream of consciousness stuff. So sorry about forgetting about the whole setting it up.
No problem. But I was just sitting here doing computer work. So I published like this article with a bunch of pictures of my bike.
I remember you got that fantastic aesthetic, like it's all red, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you done a review on the site of the Pangea already?
No, I'm working on it right now.
Okay, yeah.
I'm hoping I'll have it out, I don't know, by December.
Totally, yeah, once you've done the full evaluation.